are you?
Debbie Darity, lady.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, there we go. Okay. So you made yourself a whiskey sour?
I did. I made it. It's called Jameson Sour.
Wow, nice.
Little lemon juice, little sweet and sour mix, little Jameson. Shake it up.
You're a mixologist.
Used to have to make them in the bar, so it was I kind of knew that one. I love getting it, though. I love ordering it.
I did the coffee thing today.
Okay.
So I did the Irish, the Baileys and the coffee thing. I don't know, does that make me a mixologist, but look at my cup. Do you remember?
Oh, the good old days. Yes, yep. I do.
So
I brought my cups over here and I think I broke them. I don't know if they got broken the move or they broke here, but I do remember bringing them. They were, you know, like I couldn't leave without them.
You had more than one. This one is all I had. It survived my move.
Yeah, I had two. I don't remember the names, but I had two. I was like, I love them. They're just the right size.
They're perfect. Yeah. So I thought I'd bring this on today and have some coffee.
That's good. We got a lot of nostalgia going on today because my friend Debbie that's in the green room, she was one of the first people I met when I moved to Florida in 1986.
Really?
Yeah, she's one of my longest, oldest friends.
Oh, how nice. So it is a nostalgia day.
It is a nostalgia day. Let's bring Debbie in so you can meet her and learn about what she does.
I cannot wait.
There she is.
Hi.
Yeah. I was just explaining to JD because she brought on a mug that we all had. it was like, oh my God, the nostalgia. Like I had the same mug. And I said, it must be like the day for it because you're one of the first people I met when I moved to Florida in 1986.
My God. Are we old enough to be friends that long, really?
Can you even imagine?
I know.
Jay, you were at my condo when we would record the show there.
Yes, so I was. Yeah.
Next door to me is where Debbie's sister lived. And so when I first moved in there, that was how I met them. They were like neighbors. And my mother knew you guys first. And then she was like, wait till you meet the crazies next door to me. You're going to love them. That was all I needed to hear.
It was fun, too. It was fun. Living together in that little apartment complex, I mean, there was like mayhem.
It was like Melrose Place. We had, you know, me and my mom, Debbie and her sisters, my cousin Linda and Shaney.
Wow.
I mean, it was just like, there was just bodies running around the courtyard all the time, in and out of everybody's
place. So much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. It was a sense of family.
Are you still in Florida? Are you still down here?
No, I'm not. I spent 25 years there. I'm actually from the Northeast. I was born and raised in Philly. And we moved to South Florida. I lived there for 25 years. And then 13 years ago, moved back here to raise my kids in more of a community environment. Florida for me was wonderful when I was single, and I think it's a great place to retire, but I don't think it's a great place to raise kids. So I'm kind of glad that I got out for a little while and I'm happy I did. So I'm in South Jersey, right outside of Philly.
Oh, nice. Nice. I miss the season changes. I come from Long Island. So yeah. I miss you're lucky enough to get out. I one day I think want to move back up where there's season changes. I miss that, even though I've been down here so many years.
I missed it every day for 25 years that I lived there.
Yeah.
Every day. And I'm so glad I have it now. And I'm not tired of it 13 years ago. All these people are complaining while it's snowing. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things I like being here too. It's like, it's nice to see the leaves change and the snow and the flowers in the spring. The only thing I hate is summer because there's no air conditioning. But, you know, other than that, you know, like, and it does get hot here. I don't care what anybody says. There's like, you know, like you ask a Brit, like, why don't you have air conditionings? And they're like, for what, 2 weeks? It's like, it's not 2 weeks. It's like two solid months.
Oh, I mean, no, I can't. 90
degrees. What is wrong with you people?
You got to realize that you're a spoiled American. We can't, like, we can't, we're like, what's that? You know, like,
what, I buy everything fans. That's what I did when I worked at the pub every summer. I'd buy like new fans that are on like the stands, and they would be like, what? And I'm like, no, trust me. Like, this is a good thing. I would just buy my boss would be like, let me reimburse you. I'm like, no. Right. Nope, my pleasure. Hey,
it's already almost 90 degrees here. I think it was 86. Oh. It's like too much already. Like, now we're done.
I don't miss it one bit.
Yeah.
Me neither. Me neither.
It was 73 today. Look, I'm finally in a t-shirt and a hoodie.
So I got a hoodie on. I'm still a little chilly. It's so nice.
It's questionable. I love it. Like, I saw on my weather app, like, that Tuesday, there was a snowflake next to the day. And I'm like, no. You got to be kidding me. Like, really? 73 and then, like, worrying about snow. So, yeah, we're a little iffy. But I really would – I love the seasons. I think it helps with your moods. Like, I really do. Like, in Florida. Hot, hotter, right? Tourist, and hurricane. Those were
– Right.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Brutal.
And yet I'm drinking coffee. I put the air down, so it's not 90 degrees inside. Thank God.
I did an iced coffee.
You did an ice. You guys.
Look, it looks like your logo.
It does.
Yes.
I went old school with a classic whiskey sour.
Look at you.
I mixed it in everything. Here. I shook it up, poured it in. The only thing that's missing is the egg whites, because that's just kind of gross. Mm. But yeah.
Bailey's in for the show.
There you go.
A little booze.
Tough, Debbie. This is the way
beans. Way beans coffee.
Yeah. I love it.
That was such a good time. Mm. Such a cute little place. We loved it.
Yeah.
And it was the stop after Pride Fest in Palm Beach all the time.
So, always.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I was telling JD that I don't like to use the word my oldest friend, because that's just me. So I say my longest friend. And we went through our crazy stage where we were, where it was like Club Boca, Wildflower, all those places.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And then you grew up and you're doing like grown up things, like big, helpful, do-goodery grown up things.
Who knew? We'd go from striptease and Madonna to philanthropy in our old face.
Right? I'm holding on to those tapes too, man. I got them.
I'll kill you.
I got them. Those are the blackmail tapes.
It was the 80s, right? That's everybody's
it's
excuse.
Exactly right.
It was the 80s. It's a blanket excuse for bad behavior.
It's true. We were bored and we had a video camera. Enough said.
I'm going to let it go after this, but could you imagine if we had social media in our day?
Oh, every time I see that meme, I go, oh my God. Thank Christ. Thank
God. So, you know, you don't know where life's going to take you, you know?
No.
And we all had our different journeys. And
It's amazing, though, what you're doing. Like, So I was trying to explain a little bit to JD. So Debbie founded a charity called Bianca's Kids. And Deb, I looked at your numbers and you were up to like 25,000.
Yeah, we're actually almost at 30,000 now. Yeah.
Oh my God.
After Christmas, yeah.
I just saw your Instagram, another wish granted to the little girl with brain. Aneurysm or something?
Yeah, she's like stage 4 brain cancer.
Oh.
So you operate like on donations. Like, you've done all this on donations and you've created this. And this is going on how long now?
10 years. Bianca died 10 years ago in August. Yeah, so it's like 10 and a half.
And the whole reason for the charity was your niece.
So, right. So I can maybe explain to JD a little better. So, yeah. And JD, what happened is in August of 2010, My 21-year-old niece, Bianca, was walking to work in North Jersey, and she was hit by a car and killed instantly. And Denise happened to know Bianca. She lived right next door to her, and they loved each other. While they hadn't seen each other for years at this point, they, you know, Denise knew her when she was a little girl. And it just, while I was not a stranger to grief and loss, like I had lost my father when I was 11 in a car accident, I had lost other family members, but this particular loss just kind of leveled me.
Oh my god,
just a 21-year-old kid and no risky behavior, not sick, and you know, you just get this call that, you know, it just took me to my knees. Like I had trouble breathing. It just was so it shook me to my core.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the weirdest thing because, you know, we know for sure we're all going to go through grief. We have to do it. We never prepare for it. We don't know how to handle it when it happens to us. And when it happens in a situation like this, like not within the normal course of life, where it's not like an old aunt or a grandparent, you know, right. Plus it was my sister's child, which is kind of like the next worst thing to losing your own, is having to watch your sister lose a child or your mother lose a grandchild or your nephew lose his sister. I mean, there was just so many, you know, layers of grief associated with it. And so it was her love for children and her desire to help kids with special needs. Bianca had aspirations to continue her education while she worked in a daycare center at the time where she was walking to that morning when she was killed. She had aspirations to continue her education and to work with kids and make their lives better. So at her funeral, I promised her that I would, that her dream wouldn't have to die just because she did. And that I sort of would take the baton for her, and that together, like she helped me. This is how psycho I was. I was like all Xanaxed out and like high and grief and shock. I was, you know, I'm like talking to her in the cast. I said, I'm like, you do your work from there and I'll do it from here and we'll be partners and we'll do this, you know. Whatever. So crazy, right? So I leave there and I kind of forget about it because I fall into this depression that, you know, that came with her loss. And I just, like, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I was getting therapy. I was, you know, doing everything I could. And I fell in this deep abyss of just, you know, just sadness. I was like, who wants to live in a world like this? Like, you know, where just young people die and everybody's so violent and killing each other. And then I kind of thought, you know, maybe like 6 weeks later, that thought came back to me. And I was like, you know, what about that promise I made to her? And I was like, you know what? I can't change the world, but I can change mine. And I want to try and do this. And so I started with, you know, calling my local Division of Youth and Family Services and providing Christmas gifts to local foster children, but providing them gifts that they really wanted, like shopping for them, not just somebody's extra something that their kid got, you know?
Yeah.
And so since then, for the past 10 years, we've been shopping for somewhere between 1,000 to 1,500 foster kids every year. Our supporters sponsor them. Yeah, that's one of our initiatives. That's our Christmas initiative. But throughout the year, we're granting wishes to kids and teens and families from the public. And those wishes come into us through our website at biancaskids.org. And it's quite amazing, Denise, because we really talk about this journey that we took and, you know, our lives and how they, I mean, if somebody would have told me 10 years ago, you know, you're going to run a nonprofit and you're going, first of all, I didn't even know what a nonprofit was. I had no idea.
Yeah. You what were it was. At ground zero. Like,
yeah, no clue. Like, can I call Susan Komen? Who is that? How could she tell me how to, like, can I call St. Jude? Like, who can help me with all that? I had no idea who to call, but I would have thought they were crazy. And then to say that, you know, we'd be a wish granting organization, you know, we're taking kids. And what does that mean? I mean, that means we're granting, every kid's wish is different. You know, all their needs are different. So we kind of have to be a jack of all trades. You know, we're doing everything from bringing them to meet their NFL superstars to buying them the, you know, that little girl that we talked about that's in the hospital right now. She dreams of a Barbie dream house, you know, her parents can't afford. So we had the Barbie dream house. It's actually getting delivered right now to the hospital as we speak. So she can play with it while she's there. They're going to set it up in her room to buy in, you know, cars for foster kids, trips to Disney, little things. There's you know, scholarships and everything in between.
The room decoration was one of my favorites too.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing, like, the room was fantastic.
We do a lot of those. So, like, we just had a little girl, maybe like a month or two ago, we had a little girl again with a brain tumor, went to the hospital. She really needed a room makeover. And so the community, she happened to live in my community, and we came together and we funded the whole thing. And we did a whole bedroom makeover for her when she came home. That's those makeovers are a big deal. Like, providing a child a space that they really love and they're comfortable in, and they can have their friends over. Like, you'd be amazed.
Yeah.
Those for a kid.
That's, I mean, who wouldn't want that, you know? But you really branched out. Like, I know the Christmas initiative is huge, but you also do the prom dresses, mm-hmm. which I think is fantastic, because not every kid wants to go, and not every kid can afford, you know, the looks, especially nowadays, you know, years ago, but nowadays, geez. So you do the prom dresses too, but you just got back from a trip to Florida.
Right.
And you started, is it Bianca's Pantry?
We did. So what we did, Bianca's Closet is one of the things that we do that she was mentioning, JD. And this is where we have implemented closets throughout high schools in New Jersey and in Florida. And we hope to, you know, go all over the country. We do them in offices of division and families in different high schools and middle schools, where we will fill those closets up with brand new or gently used prom dresses that will get donated from like a David's Bridal, or, you know, these kids wear their prom dresses once and they throw them out.
Yeah.
You know, they spend $1,200 on a dress and it's sitting in the back of their closet. So, you know, prom was a big deal for Bianca, and it's a rite of passage for most kids. But what I found in doing this work with my foster children is that a lot of kids miss prom because they can't afford not just the dress, the tickets, the limousine. So we'll pay for all that for foster kids or kids that can't afford it. And the kids that have access to our closets can go in and take a brand new dress for free. They can go and feel good about it. You know, their schools make them like boutiques and stuff where they kind of feel, you know, not embarrassing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, that's a beautiful thing. That's so unique to think of that, like that, that's not, and the room makeover, both of those things are really, so meaningful. Like Denise said, like, who wouldn't want that, you know? And no one, you know, you might not think someone isn't able to go to their prom because they can't afford to get the dress and the things they need to get there. I think it's an amazing, beautiful thing that you took your grief and turned it into blessing other people, because they, you know, you hear, and it's true, like, when you can't help yourself, to help someone else, to make someone else smile when you can't put a smile on your own face.
That's right.
Is healing for, it's, you know, it's just a win-win. It's healing all the way around. But
I say that all the time, that there's so much healing in helping others. It's a fact. And it's exactly why I did it. And people will constantly say, oh God, it's so selfless of you. And I'm like, you don't understand. It's very selfish work. Because what I get back is insurmountable, and I can't get it from anything else. Trust me, it's like crack. Once you start doing it, it really is like a total addiction. And like, I need my fix, because it kind of, I go, okay, the world sucks. And then I grant a wish and I'm like, God, I love people. It just makes you feel so much better about life and about people, you know.
What I like about it too is that there's the options. Like, if you're a person that maybe you don't have the time to go through your closet and find, you know, the good stuff, or to do some shopping, to donate something. Right. If you're a business and you just want to do good in your community, you write a check. There's people out there that are just check writers, and that's fine.
Right.
You're
right.
Running on funds. But then you have the other people that might not have those funds, and they want something in a different way, either donate their time or their things, or, you know, help you with the deliveries and the shopping and all that, which is huge again. But I love the fact that you're kind of doing this as a family affair. Like, now your husband, your son, your cousins who I met when they were this big. So it's, you know, it's great. And you're getting so much support. I love when I scroll through my Insta feed and see that there was another donation from a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer. You know, it's just like, you know, God bless the check writers, you know, that
absolutely yeah. they're my favorite kind of people. Yeah.
And the and that's I a- see your family involved in it. It's just it seems like you've literally taught them this is a way, you know, helping others is a way to make yourself, you know, feel good. So mm-hmm. you know, thank you're you. And you have boys. I mean,
right. And you know what, Denise, that was really important to me because there's a couple of things I want to touch on. And that is that, you know, the fact that you talked about the different ways we have for people to give back, which is very true. And what I learned very quickly is that people want to give. Mm. People want to feel that same crack feeling that I feel. They want to give. They just need to feel safe about it. And so one of the things that was really important to me when I created this organization was that I wanted our donors to be able to see their donation dollars at work. Yeah. And I, because I knew I would always give to Salvation Army or St. Jude, and I'm, you know, write a check and go, God, I hope this went to what I meant it to go for. It exactly. just goes into that black. Well, with our social media pages, we put everything in real time as it's happening.
Yeah.
So if you're a donor, you could go onto our pages and you could say, I made this happen. This wish happened because of my donation. This is what my money did today. This is my money. And so our corporate sponsors love it too, because they're partnered with an organization that has a great social media presence. It has a great, you know, a beloved organization. About mm-hmm. my family, very true. I wanted to teach my boys because generally, boys, men are not givers when it comes to philanthropy work and things like that. When I look at my demographic, when I look at my analytics, all of my followers, I would say 95% of my followers and supporters are women.
Right.
However, that 5% of men are the biggest donors. So we're always wanting to bring men. I die for them to come in. So I told I wanted to teach my boys. I'm like, you need to get involved. Like, you need to know what it is. It's not all about you. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is why God gave me men. Like, he knew I like couldn't stand them. I didn't understand them. I hated them. So he gave me three of them to kind of see what simple beings they are. And like, so I really, you know, tried hard to raise them to know that they've got to give back, that when I'm long gone, that it's really important for them to, whether they do it through Bianca's Kids or anything else, they got to give back.
Yeah.
And so we're always looking for those guys, you know, there's the guys are, you know, great. I mean, and they're incredible supporters and they're generous.
Yeah,
and
just don't think about it. You know, like
they don't. That's
not,
it.
Like, yeah. It's not up here. Like I watch daytime TV and I'm like, I want to write a check for the pandas and the donkeys and the
right.
people and the puppies and the RSPCA. Text what for $3 a month? Like,
right. like,
but if a guy sees it, I mean, they're just flicking channels onto the next
right. day.
Just pass it. Whereas all that kind of stuff, I think, just affects us differently. Like,
come on, how do you watch an ASPCA commercial and see the dog shaking and not write a check?
Exactly.
Right. Come on.
Honestly, it's so bad that I seriously have to like put something else on because that's all that's on here during the day. That and life right. insurance.
When you tap into that guy's heart, they make such a difference. They're my biggest donors. They're my biggest corporate sponsors. They're the biggest, you know, givers, but it takes a while to get there. So yeah, it was important for me that I made it part of my family, and I encourage my supporters who will have their children do it as well. Like for example, with the Christmas Initiative, parents will use it. If they have a boy and a girl who are 10 and 13, they'll call me and ask me for a boy and a girl who are 10 and 13, foster children, and they'll let their children shop for them.
Oh.
And, you know, really, keep the you know, and they do it and they wrap the gift and they do and then they bring it and drop it off. And it's a great way. Or I've had a ton of parents say to their kids, you're going to donate all your gifts, your birthday gifts to Bianca's Kids.
Wow.
And they'll come and they, you know, once they learn what it's about, the kids come and they give it all like with a smile on their face. They're so proud of what they did, you know, because most of our kids and the kids around me are, you know, spoiled. I mean, they don't need them, you know?
It's so true. It's an amazing thing to, it's like the ripple effect, you know, like that.
Right.
It's just, you just wait for it to happen. You know, you skip the rock and then you just wait for the ripple effect to happen. And it's incredible. Like, I love the fact too, that you guys, on your social media, you'll put when you're doing radio interviews and you've got like a lot of things like the podcast thing was going on, I'm sure before the COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of interest in a reality show.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that I think will end up putting you on the map. And for nothing else, but because your family is so friggin' entertaining.
Honestly, I certainly hope
never
so.
Saw anything like it.
I certainly hope so. I mean, I've never seen anything like it either. But, you know, I've been working on that, the reality show thing. You know, we worked on it for so long. I mean, we have producers and we still have a producer working with us on it. And the sad thing is that the decision makers in Hollywood are not interested in feel good anything.
No, yeah. They just want the tragedy, you know, yeah. the tragic, the blow them up, smash them up. You know, the
they think that's what we want. And I'm like, how many people got to turn away from cable television before you realize that they want an alternative?
Oh, God, especially, you know, now.
Right. Wow, they so need, bad. I mean, have we ever needed uplifting, good news, funny stuff? Like, our show, the premise is so awesome. Like, I got to send you the sizzle so you can see it because it's not public. But it's just such a great premise because it was like this story, this journey that took you on an emotional like roller coaster ride of laughing, crying, and at the end, you know, the pinnacle moment of this family getting their wish granted.
It's kind of like the equivalent to an HGTV show when you're redoing a sad, shitty house. You know,
now that do you remember that show? Move That Bus.
Yes.
Okay, yes. That show went on for like 17 years, 13 years regular, and then another 4 in syndication. That show was so popular, and you knew what the hell was going to happen every week.
Every time, yes.
It was just a house fixer-upper, whereas ours are different every week. I was like, what do you mean? Like, that one show went on for 17 years.
I feel like that has a market. Like, I can't believe that people Denise, are fighting over it, you know?
JD, we pounded for years. 6 years I worked on it. And the only times they would, the couple of times we did get interest in it, they wanted to change the premise and make it salacious and create, you know, problems. I was like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, because a lot of that, even though it's reality, it's scripted to a degree because they make the drama, they want to create drama where there might not be, but like for you, what's so great is you said, like, you put your on your social media pages, you put the families and the people that you help, because that's an excuse a lot of people will use for not writing that check, because they'll say, well, I don't know where the money's going. You know, there are people at the top.
Right.
That take, a lot of people think, and it is that way. And the bigger, unfortunately, the bigger the organization, the more there are people at the top getting big salaries. But like when someone's doing what you're doing, you know, it's, I'm sure everything's going to the people that you're helping. And that's
so apparent. It's like right in your face. Right.
Yeah. And you know, and it is great for the check writers because there are people that don't have the time. And then there's, you know, wonderful, amazing people like yourself that are working so hard to make everything come together and bring that blessing to so many people. And what's amazing to me in listening to what you do is the diversity in what you do. And, you know, you make it happen no matter what that might be, which is really.
Thank you. Which is fun. And which was part of the journey, like behind the premise behind each one of those potential show episodes was seeing how we do that. Because this organization started with the tech, and 10 years later, you know, we've touched 30,000 lives in amazing ways. And you know, we're just a bunch of like housewives and friends from New Jersey that are different than what you're seeing on television, which is all they do is focus on themselves. Whereas I got a bunch of men and women who focus on everything but themselves. And I thought it was such a nice alternative to all the salacious television there is today. There's so much drama in it anyway. You know, you're dealing with families every day that are going through serious issues. You know, like, there's so much we learned in walking this path with people, and like the struggle that people go through that have children that are battling cancer, you know, that we don't think about when you don't have those problems. And what I tell most of my supporters is, if you don't have those problems, it's you're obligated to give back, to be thankful for those blessings that you have, and say, you know, thank God, You know, if you don't need that stimulus check, if you don't need $100 of it, send it out to someone. Be thankful. Be like, God, thank you so much for blessing me with healthy children. And, you know, because that's what we do. There's people that they don't know how they're going to pay their mortgage. They got to fly out. Great. They go to St. Jude. That pays their hotel. They get their care for free if they're lucky enough, let's say, to get accepted by St. Jude. But their mortgage still has to be paid. The mortgage company doesn't want to hear your kids got cancer. They don't care.
Right.
You know, so we'll pay bills for families like that so they can go 2 months and not have to worry about, you know, paying their bills at home.
What a cool thing about it, too, is that you just never know what's going to hit. You know, like you look at Humans of New York, you know, like that Instagram, you know, has just exploded. Like there's just millions of followers. And I know myself, like, it used to be like, oh my God, if this is 3 posts, I'm not going to read it because it's too long. Now I'm like, I'm so invested in a 12-page post, you know, like you just get hooked in. Something like that. It's like, you know, and the way they have diversified. So it's not just New Yorkers anymore, you know, like they go to different places and focus on different areas and whatnot. And so obviously there's a need for it because they're still doing it. And they're doing books, and I think I heard about a documentary or something. So it's there, you know. Right. It's just a matter of finding, I guess, the right people. Because I just can't imagine, especially during a time like this when so many people need to focus on something
good. And want it so badly. And you know what? I gave up. I gave it so much of my energy and my time and my money because I really felt like. Well, the truth was, should it ever happen, it really would be like a homeless person hitting the Powerball for a non-small grassroots nonprofit like ours. I mean, you know, the dream for me would be to be able to do this full time, you know, and be able to make this my only focus. I mean, Bianca's kids.
Great.
Yeah. Like I have a job that pays, that actually pays my bills. And I had to cut, you know, do that part time to run this nonprofit organization, which is a company, you know, it's a full blown company. It's just not a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So that would be the goal. And I thought, you know, the way to do that, the quickest way to do it, because I'm getting old and the Lord knows I'm running out of energy. My ass is slowing down so bad. to get a reality show. I was like, even if we get 1 season, 6 episodes out of it, I mean, it'll give us exposure that. 10 years of pounding social media didn't get us, you know?
Nowadays, like 6 episodes go far because...
6, one retweet from a celebrity. Right. One celebrity retweet would make up more than... It's so nuts.
It's so... Isn't that like the brass ring is to get like a retweet from a celebrity?
Jesus, we say that all the time. Isn't that ridiculous?
It is, but really quick, because we got like just about 5 minutes left, but I want you to tell JD a little bit about what you just did in Deerfield.
Because that's where I needed to talk about the pantry too. Yeah. So Deerfield High School, which is right near you, JD.
Yeah.
I'm a sponsor of a new project that they have going on there called the Beach House. And the Beach House is headed by Denise Reed, who was the assistant principal over at Stoneman Douglas on the day of the shooting and was one of the people in charge, I understand, because the principal was leaving the country that day. So Denise Reed is over at Deerfield High School now. The Beach House is a project, an initiative that she started where they realized that there's a lot of poor, impoverished kids that are living at just, at or below poverty level in that area. And there happens to be, it seems like grief counselors there every month. They've lost 3 kids in 3 consecutive months there recently. One from a murder and 2, I think, suicide. And so the grief counselors are constantly going in there. The kids are constantly like without food at times or without clothes or, you know, things like that. And so they talked to me and said, we have this beach house. It's a building that we have on the property that's now designated for mental health and wellness of our students, where they have, you know, basically social workers on staff constantly, grief counseling available. They teach the kids how to journal every day. It's a place they can go right on campus if they need, clothing. We have Bianca's closet now there, which will have the prom dresses and all, but I'm just about to donate to them about $90,000 worth of brand new clothes that I got donated from Nautica. That'll go there too. Wow. It's going to be loaded with tags on it, all that. It's going to be brand new. So they have the closet there, and then the pantry, I'm loading up with food and toiletries and things like that, because I don't know if you guys know, but apparently tampons and pads and deodorant are a hot commodity to some of today's children. You know?
Big time.
Wow.
Oh gosh. So these kids can go in there, literally take clothes, like go do their shopping, feel good about it, get some, you know, feminine products if they need it, or the guys, if they need an act set or whatever, we've loaded it up. And then food, they could take meals home with them, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We've got all like non-perishable foods that we're getting donated to it. So it's really nice. I love it. And we're treating it as like a pilot program. I would love to see it succeed. This way I can maybe, you know, talk to some of our educators down here and get those everywhere. Because I was telling Denise, kids that are in, you know, the LGBT community, whether they're being suffering, you know, depression from bullying, feeling pressure. First of all, kids today, they're dealing with things we never dealt with. Childhood.
They have so much anxiety. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's an amazing idea, because honestly, you could have no financial trouble, no sexuality trouble. Just the fact that you have to go to school is enough to give you anxiety these days. So
you don't
need to have a problem. You know, it's just the fact that you waking up and you've got to go to school is enough to cause anxiety. So I think what you're doing is fabulous, and I love
Thank you.
And I'm so glad that you were able to just take out a couple of minutes to talk to us about it, because
always
I feel like everybody needs to know about it. And I just
thank you so much.
I can't wait for everybody to see it.
That's right near where I live, Deerfield, because I live on the south end of Boca. So if you need me to be something as a, you know, like a liaison down here, because where is Deerfield High School? Where is that?
It's right off of 95. And okay, so I forget Florida, but I think we took like Southwest 10th Street go up to 95.
Okay, yes.
It's right around there.
Okay, I know exactly.
That would be great, JD. And listen, if you ever want to donate, if you want to do like we talked about, if you want to do, you could always donate food to that pantry.
That's fantastic.
Maybe we could do something with music. I'm a musician. I don't know if you know that about
me. Yeah, Denise told me.
Yeah.
I play down here, you know, I have shows down here, and then I play nationally on touring, mostly for the military bases, but
awesome.
Yeah, I met a lot of great people through that, but I'll get in touch with you, and maybe we can do something.
Do-goodery, look at all the do-goodery, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
it's
about.
It's like pump. I love it. I love it. And the music thing would be great, because if, you know, maybe we could set something up at our beach house, you know, if you'd be willing to. I mean, I think music is so healing, and they're all about finding different ways to heal these kids.
That's amazing.
Perfect.
Be wonderful.
I love this. I'm so happy to see your face, and I love that we're doing more video talks about
that. Me too.